invite us to enter into a time of prayer. We have had a few little demons working this morning. Not to mention, it's just appropriate for us to take some space and some time, prepare our hearts, pay attention. What's going on within us? A lot has happened this week in all of our lives. And so I invite us for just a moment of silent prayer, and then I will close that space up as we pray together. So will you join me? Let us go to the Lord in just a moment of focus and sitting in His presence. Lord, our lives are so noisy. So just to sit here in your presence with silence is a gift. We long to hear your voice in our lives, and sometimes there is so much going on that we miss you and we don't hear it. But right now in this moment, we are here and our ears are wide open. More importantly, we know that you hear us. And as we think about the week that we've just had and maybe the week that we have ahead of us, maybe there are people in our hearts right now that we are praying for and deeply concerned over. Maybe they are not well and we seek your healing touch on their lives. Maybe they're lost and their world is just turned upside down. And we long to be an anchor for them or for them to just realize someone cares. We pray for them. Maybe it's us, Lord, and we have something heavy on our own hearts, a relationship that's gone sideways or a choice we have to make or a big meeting that we've got to prepare for or family that we love and need to tend to, whatever it may be. Thank you for meeting us here in this space. For the hearts that are breaking from the shooting in Charlotte, for yet another reminder that too many people in this world choose violence as a way to respond to what's broken in their lives. When we long for peace, your peace, the peace you preached about, modeled, talked about, and even promised. And it comes in fits and spurts. But we long for it. And we, as your disciples, work for it, try and model it. God, we just give thanks for the brothers and sisters that are with us today. It is a beautiful thing to come into your house of worship and to be with friends and fellow journeyers on the road to following you more fully. So continue to use this worship to bless us, challenge us, guide us, encourage us, remind us that you indeed are still speaking and moving in this world. Lord, All of this, spoken and unspoken, we lift up and we seek your blessing upon it. And all of God's children said, amen. So I ask you, have you ever thought, God, if you would only give me a sign of what it is you want me to do, just give me a sign. And then you're like, what the heck? Where are you, God? Does that happen to anyone here? Okay. So what you would have seen was a clip from Bruce Almighty. What you're going to get to see is me acting it out. This is going to be interesting. So Bruce Almighty is a movie from, it's old, but it's good. And he has, what? Oh! Oh, darn, the screen is working. And by the way, thanks, Justin, because you could have just let me keep going, and that would have been super interesting. So I want you to check out this clip from Bruce Almighty and see if you have ever been in his position. So blatant, so obvious. He has lost his job. His life is just right now in a really rough place. And this is how he is praying to God.
Okay, God, you want me to talk to you?
Then talk back. Tell me what's going on. What should I do? Give me a signal. I need your guidance, Lord. Please send me a sign. Oh, what's this Joker doing now? Okay. All right, I'll try it your way. All right, Lord, I need a miracle. I'm desperate. I need your help, Lord. Please reach into my life. What the heck? Where are you? I got you.
Smiter! You're the one who should be fired! The only one around here not doing his job is you! Answer me!
Right.
Smite me, almighty smiter!
It's funny, but and exaggerated, but maybe not so much. Maybe not so much. Sometimes we're just not looking. Sometimes we're not seeing what we want to see, and therefore we don't recognize the signs that we are given or the encouragement or the message that God is trying to make with us. And so we ignore the truth. Last week, we began a series called Encountering Jesus. It's a great series following Easter, right? As we talk about the importance of the Jesus stories post-Easter resurrection. And on Easter, in the sanctuary, I said an empty tomb is just an empty tomb without a resurrection appearance. Because the disciples, for a while, for a moment, were super confused. Was Jesus' body just stolen? Or was indeed he risen from the dead? And so these resurrection appearances become important as we continue to understand who Jesus is and what that means in our life. So today we're going to talk about an encounter story, but it's actually not Jesus. Part of that is because in the sanctuary the kids are doing a musical, and it was super cute this morning. They did an awesome job with it. And so we're going to use that same Bible story. And I want to take a closer look at this particular example of how God chooses to communicate with us. Now, this is probably not a story that most folks are very familiar with, and it's a little long. And so I'm going to read it, but I'm going to stop and chat along the way.
because this particular story has a talking donkey. So it's going to be very, very interesting. Before we get started, though, let's prepare to hear the word. Lord, through the written word and the spoken word, may we know your living word, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. All right, so I'm going to read from Numbers 22, verses 1 through 38, and it's the story of Balaam and his talking donkey. All right, the Israelites marched and camped in the plains of Moab across the Jordan from Jericho. Balak, Zippor's son, saw everything that the Israelites did to the Amorites. The Moabites greatly feared the people, for they were so numerous. The Moabites were terrified of the Israelites. The Moabites said to the elders of Midian, "Now this assembly will devour everything around us as an ox eats up grass in the field." All right, so let me give you a little bit of context. The timing of this is the second generation of Israelites in the wilderness with Moses. So they've come out of the wilderness, and they now are getting closer to the land that God promised them. But they're in the plains of Moab, and they have most definitely been noticed. Now, they're big. They're moving, they're migrating, they're camping. This is a ginormous group of people. They have been multiplying. They've already defeated one king and country, the Amorites. So the king of Moab sees the Israelites as a huge threat. It is a threat around power. It's also a threat around resources. They're using up our resources like an ox eats the grass. Let's continue. So Balak, Zippor's son, was king of Moab at that time. He sent messengers to Balaam, Beor's son, at Pethor, which is by the river in the land of his people, to summon him. "A people has come out of Egypt, and they have now covered the land. They have settled next to me. Now please come and curse this people for me, because they are stronger than I am. Perhaps I'll be able to destroy them and drive them from the land, for I know that whomever you bless is blessed, and whomever you curse is cursed." All right, so Balak is the king of Moab. Balaam is a Mesopotamian diviner. What the heck is a diviner? So this is someone who can see the future and even influence the future. They're not a prophet. He's not an Israelite. He's not even really a believer, but he knows who Yahweh is. And he has heard from Yahweh and received messages from Yahweh before. And so the king is trying to hire him to pray a curse on the Israelites so they will stop reproducing. It's very clear what it is he wants. He wants them to be weakened so they can't multiply anymore, and then maybe the Moabites can take them. Now, he's asking Balaam to do this because Balaam is actually famous in the area, and he's been pretty effective. And so he knows that he's been able to do these kinds of things before. But keep in mind, Balaam is not an Israelite. He knows Yahweh, but he's not a true follower of God. He is not your typical instrument of God. All right, let's see what happens. So the elders of Moab and Midian went with the payment for divination in their hands. They came to Balaam, and they told him Balak's words. He said to them, "Spend the night here, and I'll bring you back to you a word exactly as the Lord speaks to me." So the officials of Moab stayed with Balaam. All right, so the messengers have arrived with payment for hire, and Balaam asked for time to be a diviner and pray and see what God wants him to do. God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" Balaam said to God, "Moab, King Balak, Zippor's son, sent them to me with a message, 'A people has come out of Egypt and covered the land. Now come and curse them for me. Perhaps I'll be able to fight against them and drive them out.'" And God said to Balaam, "Don't go with them. Don't curse the people, because they are blessed." So Balaam hears God say to him, "Don't go." All right. God orders Balaam not to curse the Israelites, but to bless them. Now, what's interesting to note here is that The Israelites at this point are oblivious to this external threat of King Moab and the Moabites. God, though, has been paying attention, and God is responding in order to take action, in order to protect them from this threatening king. Then Balaam arose in the morning and said to Balak's officials, "Go to your land, for the Lord has refused to allow me to go with you." The officials of Moab arose, they went to Balak, and they said, "Balaam refused to come with us." Well, Balak kept sending other officials, more numerous and important than these. They came to Balaam and said to him, "This is what Balak, Zippor's son, says, please let nothing hold you back from coming to me. For I'll greatly honor you, and I'll do anything you ask of me. Please come and curse this people for me." The king is persistent because he's scared. He keeps up in the ante, sending more important people, offering a sweeter deal, trying to broker this partnership. Balaam answered and said to Balak's servants, "If Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I wouldn't be able to do anything, small or great, to break the command of the Lord my God. Now you also must remain the night here so that I may know what else the Lord may say to me." God came to Balaam in the night and said to him, "If the men have come to summon you, arise and go with them, but you must only do what I tell you to do." So Balaam arose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the officials of Moab. So Balaam continues to discern what God's will is, and finally God says, "All right, go with them to the king, but you are only to say what I tell you to say." Now, let's see what happens. The donkey has finally entered the story. Then God became angry because he went. So while he was riding on his donkey, accompanied by his two servants, the Lord's messenger stood in the road as his adversary. The donkey saw the Lord's messenger standing in the road with his sword drawn in his hand. So the donkey turned from the road and went into the field. Balaam struck the donkey in order to turn him back onto the road. All right, so the first donkey scene. Balaam is riding this donkey, and all of a sudden, it starts acting crazy, and it runs off the road and starts grazing in a field. So Balaam doesn't realize that the donkey has seen an angel of God in the path, in his way, standing in front of him with a sword pointed towards Balaam. We continue. Then the Lord's messenger stood in the narrow path between vineyards with a stone wall on each side. When the donkey saw the Lord's messenger, it leaned against the wall and squeezed Balaam's foot against the wall so he could continue to beat it. All right, donkey incident number two. This time he sees the angel, and the donkey pins Balaam's foot, hurting him, trying to get his attention that we don't want to go this way. Balaam is getting so frustrated, he is continuing to punish the donkey by beating him. Third and final incident. The Lord's messenger persisted and crossed over and stood in a narrow place where it wasn't possible to turn either right or left. So what do you think the donkey did? The donkey saw the Lord's messenger and lay down underneath Balaam. Balaam became angry and beat the donkey with a rod. All right, so in our third donkey incident, he sees the messenger, and there's nowhere for him to go, so he just sits down with Balaam on top of him. And Balaam again abuses the donkey, not understanding what is going on. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have beaten me these three times?" Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you've tormented me. I had a sword in my hand. If I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you now." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on whom you've often ridden to this day? Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" Balaam said, "No." Okay, so the weirdest thing happens, right? The donkey begins to speak because God empowers him to do so, and he makes the case quite persuasively that he doesn't normally behave this way, so why is Balaam being so hard on him? Maybe you need to pay attention. Then the Lord uncovered Balaam's eyes, and Balaam saw the Lord's messenger standing in the road with his sword drawn in his hand. Then he bowed low and worshiped. The Lord's messenger said to him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I've come out here as an adversary because you took the road recklessly in front of me. The donkey saw me and turned away from me these three times. If it hadn't turned away from me, I would just now have killed you and let it live." So finally God opens Balaam's eyes to see this angel standing before him, sword drawn, pointed right at him, and he realizes that all along the donkey had been trying to protect him. Balaam seems to know, I think this is interesting because you saw what his reaction was. When he saw everything, he bowed low and worshiped. Balaam knew exactly what was going on once he was able to see. And his response was to worship because he knows who he's dealing with. Balaam said to the Lord's messenger, "I've sinned because I didn't know that you were standing against me in the road. Now, if you think it's wrong, I'll go back." The Lord's messenger said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but don't say anything. Say only that which I tell you." So Balaam went with Balak's officials. All right, so this is the part that's confusing to me, because it makes it sound as though, even though God advised Balaam to finally go and see the Moabite king, he then turns around and gets mad at him for going. What I think is going on here, though, is that God's not sure Balaam has heard his complete order. So yes, go see the king, but only say what God tells him to say. I think because God is so concerned that Balaam not curse the Israelites, that God can continue to protect the Israelites, he needed to make sure he got Balaam's attention to make sure he heard the full teaching for him. And he certainly succeeded in doing that. So the last part of the story, when Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him at Ir Moab, which is on the border of the Arnon at the farthest point of the border. And Balak said to Balaam, "Didn't I send urgently and summon you? Why didn't you come to me? Am I really not able to honor you?" Balaam said to Balak, "I've now come to you, but I'm only able to speak whatever word God gives me to say. That is what I will speak." At the end of the scene, Balak, of course, is fussing. He's a king. He's offended that Balaam has taken so long to come to him. But Balaam responds to him by saying, "I can only say what God tells me to say, and I'm just the messenger, and he isn't going to grant a curse of the Israelite people." What happens is Balaam actually goes on to offer four oracles or prophecies or speeches, words. And in those four oracles, he proceeds to talk about how good the Israelites are and how strong they are. And then at the end, the last one is, "And here are all the people that are going to lose to them." And of course, the Moabites were on that list. So it was not what the king wanted to hear at all. And so at this point in the story, Balaam has remained faithful to what God is asking him to do. He doesn't always. If you read on through Numbers, he struggles because he gets tempted by greed and all of these money offerings. But for the moment, he is faithful. He says what God asked him to say, and the Israelites are protected. So why spend all this time telling this kind of obscure story from the Old Testament? It's not just because the kids are singing about it in the sanctuary, but as we talk about this resurrection post-Easter season, the importance of looking for those Jesus encounters, it's necessary for us as something that's necessary for us to help understand who Jesus is. Part of it is also figuring out our own ability to recognize these encounters. And the disciples didn't know, like I said, if Jesus' body had been raised or not without those resurrection encounters. Well, we encounter Jesus like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, like we talked about last week. and in many other places, but only if we understand what it is that we're seeing, if our eyes are opened, and if we can recognize when a God encounter is happening right before our very eyes. So while this isn't a specific Jesus encounter, it does help us think about the very same issues. And are we able to recognize when we encounter God and God's messengers in our life? And don't we all long for direction from God when we are wrestling and struggling in our own lives? Because I don't know about you, but as a Jesus follower, I long for those encounters with the risen Lord. I long to have experiences like those first disciples were able to have. I also need reinforcement that I am doing what God is calling and longing for me to do. And there are days that I wish God would send me a talking donkey. Especially as we think about this time of year, and we are prayerful for our college graduates. I know that folks that find themselves in that place in their life, that you're wondering, what's next in my life? You may be looking at your life laid out for you and thinking, okay, which direction do I go? You may be asking, how do I know what it is that you want me to do? And whether we're graduating college or not, we may be asking ourselves these very same questions. Maybe we have an important decision to make, and we're not clear what the best choice is. Maybe we feel lost, and we aren't sure where to go or what to do. Maybe we have been deeply hurt by someone, and we just need a little encouragement from God. Maybe we're new to following Jesus, and it feels a little bit harder than we thought that it was going to once we said, yes, Lord. You just need to know. You're just seeking for and longing to know that Jesus is still walking with you like you believe he is. So there are lots of reasons why we are looking for guidance and these encounters with God in our lives. And for this reason, I think this story is actually helpful for us today. Because first of all, it's a reminder that even though we may be looking for God to speak to us, we might not be looking in the right places. I don't know if you connected this dot, but Balaam was a diviner, right? There were two instances where he went home, he listened, he heard from, like, he knew how to hear from God. He knew how to recognize God's voice, so he fought. But he did not recognize his donkey was God's chosen messenger because it never occurred to him that donkey's odd behavior was a sign. I don't blame Balaam here because it was weird. It gets even weirder when the donkey starts talking, and even weirder when he realizes there's an angel with a sword pointed at him. But what I think we can learn from this part of the story is that God can be awfully creative in trying to get our attention. And when it's super important, God is super persistent. Our job here is to just try and listen, to try and recognize what is around us, to put ourselves in a posture where we're open to what God might have to say, that we are expecting to have God encounters in our life today. Because if we put ourselves in that posture, then we have the better chance of recognizing when that moment happens. Because the most important step here is to open our eyes and try and notice what is around us, to look for Jesus in our lives. I believe God going to such interesting extremes here is not so much about God's poor communication skills as it is about our inability to listen and see God in our midst. Because when we don't listen clearly, or in Balaam's case, we only got half the message, we can make a mess of things, can't we? Oh man, I've made plenty of messes of things.
But God worked hard to make sure, and this is the good news, God worked hard to make sure Balaam knew to say only the word that God had given him, that knew the full message. He worked hard to get that full message in Balaam's head. If Balaam began to let his agenda get in the way, God knew there was going to be trouble. But he listens to the donkey, the angel, and God, and he delivers the message to the king as he is supposed to, keeping that particular enemy king in check. And maybe the most important and final lesson in all of this story is to notice that God uses a non-believing diviner and a donkey as God's instruments of salvation for the Israelites. Once again, we're reminded that God can and will use anyone and anything to reach us with God's message of love and a word of direction. If we're sitting here thinking we are not able or worthy of a Jesus encounter, that God could not possibly care about insignificant me, that my life is boring, that I'm so small, that God would definitely choose to use someone more important than me to speak, or whatever ways that God, we may dismiss God's possible use and need for us. If we did any of those things, we would be wrong. Because God finds a way for each of us, each of you, to play a role in God's plans to reach the entire world. We know as Jesus followers that God's love and care for us was not meant just for us. It wasn't meant just for the Israelites in the Old Testament. God used them as a starting point with a plan from the very beginning to touch the entire world. We know that part of the story. So each one of us, Jesus' loving disciples, is indeed worthy to be a message bearer for God. And so to ask the questions, Lord, what's next? Or, Lord, help me to see what it is you want me to see and do. Those are exactly the right questions. The trick is having the eyes to see the encounter taking place in our midst, to not have a Bruce Almighty moment, but to open our eyes. Author Scott McKnight tells this story. He and his wife had this hummingbird feeder, and they eventually just took it down because they didn't have any hummingbirds hanging around. And so at one point, he was in a store buying birdseed, and he was talking to the owner of the store and shared them with that. And he's like, where do you live? Told him, he said, oh my gosh, y'all have tons of hummingbirds in that area. Tons of hummers flying around. And he said, the problem is, they're there. You just don't have eyes to see them. Once you do, you will see them everywhere. They're small, they're fast, and they're camouflaged, but they aren't that hard to spot. So eventually, the McKnights did get another hummingbird feeder. They hung it up, and they began to practice watching for these hummers that would dart in and dart out, and eventually, they began to see them, and there were tons of them. The interesting thing is their friends struggled to see them, but they had learned how to catch their movement out of the corner of their eye and to watch them dart around and to see them perch on the very obscure, weird branches of the trees. They were able to finally to see them. Just like in Balaam's story, where the donkey could see the angel before Balaam himself could see it. We've got to practice opening our eyes and ears to see what God has to share with us and what is in place in our very midst. So as you head out into this new week, I invite you to pay attention, to look for the talking donkeys or the hummingbirds or whatever it might be unexpectedly that God uses to offer a directive in your life, to listen for the voice that may be coming from an unexpected place, but might be the vehicle God is using to encourage you or guide you this week. And maybe, just maybe,
God needs you to be that unexpected voice in the life of someone else. How exciting is that? I can't wait for you to have your next Jesus encounter.